Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website. Thank you for coming today in the midst of all of the things that are occurring around the world and in particular in the nation of Israel today. All of the wars, the rumors of wars, and it just seems to be escalating every single day, and there is a tension and a dread that our daily routines, our daily lives, all the things that we feel are so secure are being shaken because of this incident, because it's causing other nations to get involved. It's causing people to take sides. And yes, we should, but we're seeing this coming to pass, this hatred for the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. And ultimately, it's going to escalate to the Christian faith because we are the children of God by faith. We are covenant people by faith. And because of our association with Israel and with Christ, we're going to be persecuted as well. So, friend of mine, as all these things are shaking today, we need to know how to live our lives in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. What should we be doing? You know, knowing these things shall come to pass, the Bible says in the New Covenant, the heavens being on fire and the elements melting with fervent heat, literally the earth being shaken like it's going to be shaken during the tribulation. Knowing these things, knowing the earth is not permanent, things are not going to continue as they are, so we can live our life uninterrupted by end time events. These are the last of the last days. We're living in the beginning of sorrows. We're beginning to see all of this come to pass, just like the Bible said. We may wish, we may be wanting, we may be even praying that there will just be some kind of peace, that it'll all just stop so we can go on with our lives uninterrupted. Listen, friend of mine, we just can't violate the prophecies and pray that what has already been prophesied will not come to pass. It will come to pass. It's coming to pass. And we need to know how to react and respond and live with holy anticipation and fervor for the Lord in these last closing hours of human time. Amen. Friend of mine, today it's important we gather around the Word of God. It's important we gather together and encourage one another as the Scriptures teach us today. And I just want to thank you for gathering with us around the Word of God this morning. Now, I don't have a message of how to prepare to live here forever in some kind of blissful state of faith, living in some kind of bubble with all the riches of the world at our feet and God's blessing upon us so that nothing can bother us and so we can enjoy every minute of worldly pleasure. No, no, no. That message has come, and I pray it's on the way out because it has no relevance to what is occurring right now. The peace we need is the peace of knowing that we are in a right relationship with God, and we have found refuge in Him, and we're knowing a peace that's not based on our surroundings or what may be coming upon the earth, and surely what is coming upon the earth. But our peace is in knowing Christ as our Savior. And this peace, as we trust everything, our future, our now, our circumstances, our threats, our dangers, everything to Him, in prayer. Hallelujah, because we have a Heavenly Father who inclines His ear to us, who turns His face toward us and offers us peace, yes, even in the perilous time. So we're talking about the example of Enoch, who walked with God and was not because God took him. I believe God's going to take us, but not just yet. Oh yes, it could happen today. But if it doesn't happen today, and we see tomorrow, then we're going to have to live in that tomorrow in anticipation of His coming. But not just saying, Lord, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to hunker down, pull our head in like a turtle in a shell, try to live in some kind of false peace by not seeing and understanding where true peace is found. It's only found in Jesus Christ. That's why the blessing, we call it the Aaronic blessing, because Aaron was told to speak it to Israel. It was God's heart, God's word, God's will for them. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord lift His countenance upon thee, turn His face toward thee, and give thee peace. It's this peace that we need right in the world and time that we are living today. That's why I'm still teaching and preaching on the example of Enoch, the seventh from Adam, because he walked with God in a very wicked and getting more wicked, a dark and getting more darker world. And yet, he walked with God, and God took him. It's found in Genesis 5:21 through 24. Enoch lived 65 years, begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. Underscore that. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. There it is again. Hallelujah. Amen. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. So the rapture of the church, not the second coming when Jesus stands upon the mountain and the mountain splits and His people are able to run away from the destruction that the Antichrist wants to rain upon them. And He comes to rule and to reign, and the whole world sees Him when He does in the second coming. No, this is not the second coming, or the second advent as it's called. This is the secret coming. This is the coming of a bridegroom for a bride. This is a coming at midnight, the Bible said in the parable of the 10 virgins. There was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." He didn't wait until daylight. He didn't wait till the next day. His coming was imminent, and He came unexpectedly, but they were ready for His coming. At the darkest hour, He came. Hallelujah. We're approaching midnight prophetically and in human history, the darkest hour. And yet our ears are tuned for the trumpet to sound. Hallelujah. Our eyes are upon the eastern sky. We are living in holy anticipation and readiness for the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we see a precedent for it right here in this ancient book of Genesis, in this seventh generation from Adam. Hallelujah. Praise God. Enoch walked with God in a progressively wicked world and was not because God took him. And he had a testimony. Listen to it, Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, next verse ties in. Don't miss it. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Enoch, dear friend, walked with God by faith. He believed without seeing, as Moses, who chose to suffer with the righteous than to have the riches of Egypt and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. By faith, the scripture said, he chose and made this choice as seeing him who is invisible. As seeing him who is invisible. Enoch walked with God, and it had to be by faith because God is invisible. Doesn't make him less viable and less real. It just means we can't see him. God is a spirit. But he had a fellowship relationship with God. He had to walk with him and talk with him by faith. Therefore, he trusted in him, and he left a testimony that he pleased God. Faith honors God, and that's why God honors faith. For the believer, seeing is not believing. For the believer, believing is seeing. Let me read this real quick from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. It said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed or formed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Nothing that appears, nothing that is here for us to see was made by anything that we can see. In fact, it was made by someone we can't see. But the very heavens themselves declare a creator, our creator, our heavenly Father's creation. Glory be to God. But it wasn't made by something that you see, feel, or touch. That's why when we walk by faith, we do not look at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. They are not eternal in their essence, in their makeup. While we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal, they are in fact in flux, they are constantly changing, they are passing away. But we look at the things which are unseen, for they are eternal. So to walk with God means we walk with Him by faith. And that testimony that we have fellowship with God because we believe He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. Amen. It pleases God, but without that vital faith, it is impossible to please Him. Amen. Thank God. Thank God we can believe. He's given to every man that ability to believe in His existence and in His person and in His power and in His love, His grace, His mercy toward us, to get to know Him literally and walk with Him in a real, genuine relationship. Hallelujah. I acknowledge Him. Amen. In my life, in my walk with Him, my talk with Him, I'm not hoping that He exists and hoping that He hears. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my God exists and is the maker of heaven and earth and all that in them is. Praise God. And I walk with Him and talk with Him. And I pray that this faith that I have in Him pleases Him. Listen, you may be struggling with that. You may say, I can't believe. Let me tell you, the Bible said to every man was given the measure of faith. God has given you the ability to believe. If you will to believe, you can believe. And if you believe, amen, upon Christ as your Savior today, come to Him by faith. by grace. You are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any one should boast. Faith is not a work. It is a willful putting of our trust in Him who is invisible. That's not a work at all. It's not something that merits salvation. It's something that recognizes our Savior, recognizes our need to be saved, and recognized Him who sent His Son to save us, and Jesus Christ who paid the price and died for us upon the cross. Glory be to God. If you want to walk pleasing to God, it begins with believing that He is. This good, gracious, merciful God is, and that He is a responder, a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Enoch had a testimony. He pleased God. Without faith, can't please Him. Virtually impossible to please Him. But because of just that small childlike faith, God is pleased with us because we're honoring Him. And faith honors God, and God honors faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, dear friend, today it says, through faith we understand, we comprehend that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Today, more than ever, we need to walk with God like Enoch walked with God. To walk with God in these last days, we need to begin to walk in the Spirit. According to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Once again, it's this relationship to and with God. It's walking humbly with Him. It's walking with meekness in our heart. It's walking with a willingness to hear and give heed to His Word. To walk in the Spirit is to walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and not the influence of the spirit of the age or the spirit of this world or the devil himself, but to walk under God's influence directly and distinctly through a fellowship relationship with Him. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk with God means we must walk, therefore, in love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, and says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us." Walk in love, amen, understanding that God is love, and to have fellowship with He who is love, we must walk in that kind of love and show that love to one another, and in so doing, witness His love to a lost and dying world. Amen. A gainsaying world. This I say then, walk in love. Amen. Because love believes all things, bears all things, endures all things. So these three, faith, hope, and love, abide. But the greatest of these, the Scripture declares, is love. And by this shall all men know that you are My disciples, because you have this kind of love, this agape love, this divine love, this sin-forgiving love. Hallelujah. This forgiving kind of love. One to another. People begin to recognize that we are truly followers of Christ when they see that love demonstrated for one another. To walk with God, who is love, we therefore must walk in love, even as Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. To walk with God, we must walk in truth, because God is a God of truth. And Jesus said, I am truth. In fact, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Listen, John 3, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Praise God. Amen. Listen, if you want to be truly free, it's truth, His truth, that sets us free through the Word of God. Sanctify them through Thy Word, for Thy Word is truth, Jesus taught. The Scripture says in the New Covenant, it says, if you continue in my word, John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Not just intellectually, you'll know it experientially in your own life, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, yes, but before you take that shield of faith, you put on the belt of truth. Let your loins be girt about with truth. In this day of deception, the greatest generation of deception that the world has ever known or will know is in the last days. Many false prophets will go out into the world and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. How we need to get a hold of a truth that cannot be shaken, and we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but grow up into Him, Jesus, who is the truth, who is the head, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. No more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We see it today. People run after this personality, this preacher, this prophet, this teacher, this so-called apostle. They run here, they run there, and they never find that would stabilize them and keep them from the falsehood. Oh, friend of mine, if we ever needed to get the truth from the Word of God rightfully divided, see, when the Holy Spirit comes, He doesn't just give you a liver shiver on Sunday. Oh, I love the liver shiver. If you never had one, I'm going to tell you, it's better felt than telt. It's when you're in the manifest presence of God and you're worshiping God, and suddenly He comes in the midst of that worship and we sense His person and His presence. And it is an overwhelming experience. But you don't judge truth by that alone, that experience, as holy and wonderful as it is. There may be someone preaching with a dynamic ministry, so persuasive, and you're beguiled by them. They have such an influence immediately over you. And the Bible said that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, these last days, some shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. It was a warning that they're coming, they're here, and you can be beguiled by them. And no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light, and his ministers, yes, as ministers of righteousness. I don't know who or what you may be following today, but if you ever needed to get in your Bible and let the Holy Spirit give you more than a liver shiver, more than an experience of the presence of God, give you the truth of God from the inerrant, eternal Word of God, rightfully dividing the Word of truth. When He comes, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. Get in the Word. Let the Word of God get in you, and you will know the truth by continuing in the Word. And the truth will make you free. It'll keep you free from error. It'll keep you free from deception, and thereby keep you free from destruction. When we started this ministry, we claimed, I remember when Brother Sean, one of our dear brothers, came out and looking at some of the statistics of people coming to the website from all over the world, really. And he said, well, it's official, Pastor Venable. We are now international. Well, we claimed a scripture because we saw God is in this outreach through the media. We claim Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. You see, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the book of Proverbs tells us, but the end thereof is the way of death and destruction. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus, who is the truth, came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And therefore a destroyer, Apollyon, from the beginning. He lied to Eve. He got her and beguiled her to disobey God. And then Adam followed suit. But dear friend of mine, today, more than ever, we need to get in the Word of God. Don't just get in church. Get in the Bible. Get in the Word of God. And give heed to the warnings. Get a hold of truth and don't turn it loose. Hallelujah. I've no greater joy, he said, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Because he knew that that's a safe place in a time of deception. And a deceiver, the devil. Amen. Listen, friend of mine. Jesus is coming for a church without blemish. And we need to be walking with God when He comes. According to Ephesians 5 and verse 26 and 27, it said that He might sanctify and cleanse it, speaking of the church, by the washing of water by the Word, that He may present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish. If Christ is coming soon, and He is, His Word must come in cleansing power to prepare His people. I'm going to say that again. I've said it before in our teachings and preachings. I want to bear down on it. I want to double down on it. If you truly believe that Jesus is coming soon, His Word must come in cleansing power to prepare His people. Because we're going to be presented unto Him a glorious bride, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How can that occur? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Listen, the Word of God is should be like a Brillo pad to an old rusty skillet. Amen. You don't want to scar it and ruin it, but you certainly want to get all the rust off of it. Praise God. Amen. We need a scouring. David said it, didn't he? Wash me with hyssop. Get something that will really clean me up, and I shall be clean. Create in me, in Psalm 51, create in me a right, clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit. It starts with the cleansing of the heart and the renewing of a right spirit within me. Pray in the New Testament, that's called through the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. And take not thy spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then sinners will be converted unto thee, and transgressors shall learn thy ways. Today, more than we have ever needed it, we need to walk with God. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in love, following Christ's example as a true disciple. We need to walk in truth like never ever before, because we will know it and we will see the power of it to keep us from being deceived, defrauded, and ultimately destroyed by the enemy. It's a way that seems right, but it isn't right. We'll know the right way. Hallelujah. This is the way. Amen. Can I have an amen in this audience? Walk ye in it, this way of truth. Amen. For God's word is like a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Praise God. Amen. It illuminates. Hallelujah. And this light pushes out the darkness, and we're able to see clearly what we should be and what we should do in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. We won't be like the five foolish virgins who are not prepared, not ready, and couldn't go out to meet Him. We're going to be like the five wise virgins who have oil in our lamp, walking with God, walking in the Spirit, walking in truth, walking in love. Praise God. Walking in the light as He is in the light. Hallelujah. Friend, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about a revival that just precedes the coming, right in the midst of the falling away, right in the midst of a spirit of deception that's upon the world and in the church world. Oh, but there are people who have not bowed to Baal. There are people who will not just go along with what may be trending because they're only interested in going along with what is true. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you want to know the truth, hang out with us. Hallelujah. If you want to know the truth, we're going to hear it when we don't just say things, but we support them with the unchanging, inerrant, eternal word of the living God. And if the devil tries to lie to us, we just put the truth before him and say, "Be gone in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. And we win the victory every single time. Praise God. We love you today. We're glad that you've joined us today. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior today, the devil has deceived you. He's deceived you in thinking somehow, by not believing in hell, you'll miss hell. By not believing in God, you won't have to account to Him. He's making a fool out of you. The Scripture said, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Oh, friend of mine, He is. He's a rewarder of them that seek Him. And He's going to reward the wicked that have rejected Him. When Christ comes in the second coming, He's not coming to save. He's coming to judge the earth. But now, He's the Savior of the world. And He bids whosoever will, let him come and take of the river of life freely. You can come to Jesus today. You can be delivered from the deception, the deep deception that's upon the whole world. You can come out of that prison house of darkness. If you take one step, the song says, one step toward the Lord, He'll take two steps toward you. Hallelujah. And I believe somebody in this listening audience is taking that vital step of faith, turning from Satan to God, from sin to Christ. You're repentant of your sin. You're sorry for it. You're coming to the foot of the cross and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And God is pardoning your sin, sealing you with the Holy Spirit, and keeping you safe from the wrath to come. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. That's what's about to happen.